blabbering. So first of all, I just want to welcome everyone here to the System Center Operations Manager 2012 overview session. My name is Joseph Chan, and I'm one of the principal lead program manager on the team. Presenting with me today is Danielle Savage, my colleague, who is also a principal lead program manager on our team. We've been together working on this product for the last 6 or 7 years, Danielle, right?
That's about right, yeah.
About, yeah, 6 or 7 years. And so it's a great pleasure to present this this year again. And in this session, we want to give you a review of some of our development history in the last, 2 to 3 years, and an overview of, obviously, our new capability in 2012 R2. Now, more importantly, one thing that I want to give you a heads up ahead of time is that we have created a panel discussion session where Danielle and I, along with a number of our MVPs in the Ops Manager community, will get together with you in person in that session to discuss a range of topics that you care most about. We have done this in the same format at MMS earlier this year in April, and we have a terrific time just talking about what's on your mind and what are the hot issues and so forth, and we'll be extremely transparent and open to any question. So we hope that you can make it. The panel discussion session follows immediately after this session, starting at 5 p.m. And is in Hall 4.5. Yeah, Hall 4.5, right? So I hope most of you can make that. And there are certain topics that we'll only discuss in there, some of the more advanced topic. And so just to give you a little bait to get you to go to that session. I know it's late because it starts at 5, but actually it's not late, it's Spain, right? You don't get to do anything at 5. You don't get to eat, can't find anything. So might as well come. At least we'll keep you entertained. Okay, so let's take a look at some of the things that we have done in the last two release. So starting with Ops Manager 2012, that was a very, very significant release. In the 2012 release, which is just not that long ago, right? Just a year and a half ago, we have added the network monitoring functionality to Ops Manager and making it a first-class out-of-the-box experience there. And this was a really important step that we took to build on our infrastructure management capability. Before that, we were relying on a third-party partnership and add-on, and the experience is just not first-class, is not native to Ops Manager, and so that was a really, really important capability that we've added there. And at the same time, so we have invested in the Fabric tier in that release. At the top of the stack, which is the application tier, we have introduced integrated application performance monitoring. And for the first time, Ops Manager enables you to bridge the gap between ops and app owners and developers all under the same roof. And more importantly, we allow you to do it in a way such that it is simple and cost-effective. Okay. For those of you who are familiar with the APM functionality, you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't require you to customize MP or roll out any authoring of management packs and rules and monitors on your own. The APM capability just basically works out of the box with .NET applications. But for those of you who are not familiar with the capability, we'll certainly walk through that later on today in our demos. Network and APM is really important, but we didn't stop there. Okay, among other things, we have simplified the ops manager topology, removing the root management server role Actually, do clap, yes. Okay, I lost it. just to get a show of hand, how many of you are still on 2007 R2 or older version right now? Okay, so you are suffering from the pain of a single point of failure right now with the root management server. So that's a great incentive to move to 2012, just that alone, taking out the root management server. Yes, we have done that. Really simplifying the topology, enabling high availability for your monitoring infrastructure out of the box for you. Not just that, we certainly removed the RMS role from the topology, but we have also enabled for remote monitoring scenario. So for example, for network monitoring, where all of the monitoring workflows actually runs on the management server tier. Now those types of remote monitoring now also have high availability out of the box from the same resource pool capability that we've offered. So again, same thing for Linux and Unix monitoring. Those workflow runs on the management server. Now, when a particular management server fails, those workflow will fail over to another management server so that you won't have a monitoring blackout. That capability is great. And we still haven't stopped there for 2012. At the same time, we have increased the management group scalability, increased that by 50%. So in 2007 R2, the number of managed server at that time is 10,000, and we have increased that up to 15,000 in 2012. And so that was 2012. And moving on to SP1, which was just
January.
A few months ago,
yeah,
right?
January,
yeah. Yeah, just a few months ago, we quickly follow up with the with another release, the SP1 release, and building on those same investment areas that we have highlighted, infrastructure, DevOps, and experience, really rounding out our fabric monitoring story there, in particular, having a much better integrated monitoring experience with our sister team in Virtual Machine Manager, VMM. So the monitoring integration there is definitely first class. Out of the box, it just works if you follow the deployment guide, really enabling virtualized resource monitoring into the same fabric monitoring experience that we have provided in 2012. So concretely speaking, we are now monitoring things like virtual switch, which brings it right into the same network vicinity view that we have introduced in 2012. Virtual machine monitoring obviously is now first class and works out of the box in the SP1 timeframe as well. And we have also rounded out our DevOps investment. Most significantly, however, in that time frame was the official release of Global Service Monitor, the GSM attached service, which allows you to monitor your application from the outside in using points of presence that Microsoft offers to you. So if you have applications running in Frankfurt, Germany, for example, your data center is there, but for whatever reason, you're just getting a lot of Korean customers. You just want to make sure that the South Korean can actually access your application. Well, you don't have to go all the way over there to find a point of presence on your own. You can do it from the comfort of your Ops Manager console and just use our points of presence in Asia to make sure that your app is up and running. And it's just that easy. Again, first class out of the box. We also rounded out our application performance monitoring capability there, making sure that we offer support for .NET Windows services, apps that runs on IIS 8, as well as WFC and MVC support there. just showing that, you know, we do follow up on the promises that we made and continue the depth of monitoring on new features that we have introduced. And finally, we continue to invest in the dashboard framework technology we've introduced in 2012 and follow through with that and introduce the 360.NET application dashboard that really brings in multiple DevOps scenario into a single view. And we'll walk through that later on in the demo as well, just to show you how that works. So what's new in R2? Well, we really started talking about the SP1 investment at MMS back in April. So that was a little bit more than 2 months ago. And standing on the stage, I made a bunch of promises that I said I would deliver by this summer. Well, it's summertime, and I'm talking to you guys now. Let's review some of the promises that I made. One of the things that we talked about at that point was, yes, in terms of infrastructure monitoring, we have network monitoring, we have introduced storage monitoring in SP1, we covered virtualized resources, and we have always done a really great job in terms of monitoring workload, particularly Microsoft Server workload. And all this data is just sitting out there that we collected, but it's still siloed among the different views that we have in the console. And one of the things I promised was that we will do a fantastic job in terms of helping you manage your fabric, your infrastructure that powers your private cloud. And I said we will deliver a dashboard this summer that will bring the information together. And that was exactly what we did. In the infrastructure monitoring pillar there, we're gonna be introducing the 360 infrastructure monitoring dashboard in the R2 release timeframe. And Danielle is gonna walk you through that in a demo later on, and you're gonna love it. Again, we have further deepened the integration with VMM, and you're gonna just see how well that just comes out in terms of both host monitoring and virtual machine monitoring, all flowing from a single experience in Danielle's demo later on. Now, we didn't stop there. We're helping you to manage your infrastructure, but we're talking a lot about hybrid cloud scenario. What if you want to burst some of your capacity out into the public cloud capacity that we offer from Azure? Well, we got that covered for you as well. So with the R2 release, we're also introducing the new and improved Azure Monitoring Management Pack that really brings the whole stack together, integrating at the fabric level, at the cloud level, and the application level, all into a single flowing experience. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about later on today is the advisor service. How many of you is aware of the System Center Advisor Service? A few hands. Thank you. Well, it's great. We're going to be spending some time talking about that. It's a personal favorite project of mine, and is another attached service that we have rolled out just in MMS, the attached service. Advisor itself has been actually made production ready for close to 2 years now. So definitely want to make you familiar with that service and what we're doing there later on today. Finally, just to round things out, we also started covering Java application in our APM stack with the R2 release. I'm going to be giving you a demo of how that works later on today. And for those of you who are worried if this is Java for Windows only, no, this is Java running on Linux as well, okay? So that's obviously the most common sense scenario, right? And, you know, you always worry about these Microsoft guys, just Java on Windows. No, Java on Linux as well. We cover Windows as well. Better TFS integration and better IntelliTrace integration, making sure that we have a single monitoring agent that works for real-time monitoring purposes, but as well as for the purpose of collecting traces for your DevOps scenario, if you have any. And so with that, I think I'm just going to pass it over to Daniel and jump right into fabric monitoring.
Thank you, Joe. Am I on? Can you hear me? I'll try and not talk as fast as Joe. I normally talk quicker than him. So I want to spend a bit of time taking you through and showing you some demonstrations of the work that we have been doing, particularly around an infrastructure monitoring perspective. It's very important to realize is, one, as we as Microsoft start bringing forward our Cloud OS vision and talk about the private cloud investments, our public, and really what hybrid means, that we as a monitoring product are really able to provide you with the monitoring information you need, not just to get visualization, but what we really strive to do in the products that we create is really about how can we provide the information to you so you can fix things as fast as you can, okay? Really use Operations Manager as a tool to reduce your mean time to resolution. Those are the kind of key tenets we look at. The reason we spent some time kind of going over investments in 2012 is it's important to understand the building blocks that we're building on as we start making these investments going forward. Like the ability, the addition of network monitoring in 2012, storage monitoring in SP1, bringing these together, and this is what we're able to talk about now, so we can actually start thinking about what it means to monitor clouds as you're kind of moving forward, and more importantly, how can you fix problems when they arise. So I'm going to cover three main scenarios in here. I'm going to talk about our integration with VMM, and then I'm going to talk about what we've done with Azure, and then I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about hybrid. So starting with private cloud, as Joe said, one of the things that we went away and looked at based on customer feedback at MMS is, yes, we do have these building blocks, but we're not bringing the information together in such a way that really helps when people are thinking about installing private clouds. And more importantly, are we really working as well with VMM as maybe some of our partners are with some of competitive hypervisor products? So we took that kind of feedback to heart and we looked at, okay, well, what can we go and do to address the problems in this area? Let me show this demo. Okay, but before I get into the demo, I'm going to talk a little bit about platform support. This is something we always do as part of our presentation. As a monitoring platform, you need to understand what we're capable of monitoring when, what platforms we're able to run our products on, and what management packs are going to be available. So platform support and operations manager are two. The biggest thing is that since that as a division, Windows Server and System Center are coming together and we're aligning our release schedules, it means that the monitoring of our components running on and the management packs available for System Center Operations Manager R2 will it happen exactly the same time at RTM. Thank you. That means that we'd like, unlike previous releases where System Center would come after or management packs would come after, as a division we work very hard to make sure we align this so that you as an organization who have to deal with, okay, one, I have to deal with a new operating system I need to roll out and new workloads I need to monitor, but also I want to get the latest features from my monitoring products as well. So we're hoping that as we align these, you can actually think about your schedules for rollout and get those aligned as well. So let's talk about private cloud monitoring in R2. We looked at some of the key scenarios that you as infrastructure administrators would be looking to solve. Actually, let me ask a quick question. Who would call themselves a fabric administrator? No, good. So the deck used to say fabric administrator, and we're talking to people, and it sounds like a seamstress or someone who makes dresses or something like that. But anyway, so the infrastructure administrator or the monitoring person. I mean, if you're running private cloud.
How many of you are infrastructure administrators in here?
Okay.
Okay, good.
That's more than fabric.
Just in case nobody thinks of themselves as infrastructure administrator.
That's fair. So as an infrastructure admin, you should be able to, if you're rolling out a private cloud, and a private cloud is a complex set of things running in the virtualized fabric that consists of that virtualized network, the storage, the VMs coming and going, you should be able to understand as you're standing up cloud capacity whether or not you have problems. And more than that, you should ensure that we can bring all this information together so that when you have a problem, you can actually drill down and use the building blocks and the investments we've made before to go and solve problems. One of the things we really looked at in the picture here is not really meant to be read, but we got to look at the model of all the relationships and all the components that exist within the virtualized space and think about how can we do the best job of bringing this in and visualizing it together. So with that, I'll just jump in and I'll show you what we have. Okay. So let me ask another question. Who has never used Operations Manager and never seen this console? Okay, one, two. Come to the panel discussion and we'll talk a little bit more if you need more information, but this is our Operations Manager console. And I'm going to drive in, I'm going to jump straight in here to, this is brand new in R2, and this is our Cloud Health Dashboard. What this is here, this is pulling from VMM. So in VMM, you're going to be setting up a set of clouds, which is really your capacity and your SLA that you promise out for a particular set of resources. So the first thing that we've done is we've looked at the scenario that if the SLA is what you're managing, when you're looking at problems and you're looking at doing monitoring, you want to do that at the cloud level as well. So here we have a list of all the clouds that I currently have configured. You can see that we're pulling in not just the information and the name and the description, but we're pulling in quota-based information, okay, like the number of VMs, the number of vCPUs assigned to that particular cloud. And you can see here that we provide the state, which is obviously what Operations Manager is supposed to do, to tell you when you have a particular problem. So if I have a problem with this particular cloud, you'll see I have a task here called Fabric Health Dashboard. One of the other building blocks, as Joe was talking about, is our dashboard framework. The ability to present rich, high-density visualization of information, but also provide a way for the user to drill down and be intuitive about how they work through the data that they're seeing to be able to get to root cause. So I'm going to click on Fabric Health Dashboard here. And for this particular cloud, is going to bring in that model we just talked about. So everything that's associated and makes that cloud work, from the hosts and the host groups to the storage pools, and of course, linking it to the network, the physical and the virtual network that we have within there. So I get a one-page view of everything that's happening scoped to this particular cloud, which you can see here. Now, you're obviously in production environments, we may have more information. A cloud may consist of hundreds of hosts, for example. What we've done is we focus, again, when we talk about enabling faster mean time to resolution. You really want to be able to scope this down and say, okay, just show me what's unhealthy. So when something's unhealthy, that's where I want to go and focus in on. If it's green, it's good, and I can look at that. But when it's red, I can drill down. Put this back. So I'll just explain a few things that are on here. So if we take a look at the host view, we're pulling in information on from the host, what the host group is, whether the CPU memory disk and the network adapters are healthy, whether there's number of alerts, and how many VMs are associated with it. From the storage pools, you can see that we're pulling in not just the state, again, the alerts, but the capacity as well and how much your allocation. So again, if you were trying to get a feel of how your cloud is actually performing and how your storage is working, you will see this information here. Further on down, we have the network nodes that are associated or connected to these particular hosts. And of course, as Operations Manager, we have alerts and therefore knowledge about what the problems that could exist and how you would go and resolve them. On the file share side, we pull in the file share and the LUNs associated, again, pulling in capacity and allocated. So that's a lot of information presented as part of this cloud. And that's what we talked about. We're bringing these building blocks together, and that's our promise to you is, as you're building out these clouds, you can use Operations Manager to get that visibility. So say we have a problem, okay? One of the things that we can do is allow you the ability to drill down further in to the other assets that we have with an Operations Manager. One is the ability to get a vicinity view of the network to understand whether things are correct, connected, and working correctly. I can click Show Computers here. And in this particular view, I'm seeing network switches. Obviously, this is a small demonstration environment. and I see the two hosts here. And if I had a problem between a host and a switch, this connection would show up red, telling me that I could, telling me what the problem was, and then I can drill down further to see how I could fix that. For those of you who haven't seen kind of how we drill down to what we can get around the network, I can go further from here to look at that particular network node and switch and get rich information about it. And these are the building blocks we put in 2012 that now really tie together that whole fabric monitoring experience. Close that one down. Okay. So, actually, I had one more thing. So the other thing is to give you a visualization of kind of how that model is. We have a diagram view here of my virtual machine manager estate. One of the things, this is this model, the representation of the objects and the data actually within Operations Manager. So I can filter here using problem path and very easily drill down to the particular point that's actually causing the problem. But what this is just showing is of how we're assigning and bringing all these resources together within Operations Manager from VMM. Okay, let me switch back. So that's what we're doing for private cloud. So I'm going to talk a little bit and talk about something that's kind of perhaps what is being used the most in the context of Operations Manager, and that is the ability to do monitoring of workloads. And the monitoring of workloads has really been provided by our management packs. Operations Manager is not just a data collection system for monitoring. It's a knowledge-based monitoring platform, meaning as we monitor workloads like Exchange or SharePoint, we can provide you alerts or performance data, tell you when things are going wrong. But the most power in the system comes when you provide you the knowledge of what to do when that alert happens. And these come in the form of management packs. So one of the things that we've made a conscious effort over the last 12 to 18 months is to look at, are we serving our customers the best in the context of the management packs we're delivering? I think for certain areas, we've been doing a good job. But for certain areas, I would probably score ourselves that we need some improvement there. So the reason I'm putting this slide up here is just to iterate how we're actually going about solving problems in the management pack space and really looking at becoming the best of breed monitoring for the Microsoft workloads and providing tools for our partners to provide best of breed monitoring for resources outside of the Windows estate. There's some links there where I talk about our approach to this, why it's important to think about knowledge not just as what we give you from the product teams, but how we learn from customers like yourself and create a cycle to really think about providing and updating monitoring as we go. A few things just to talk about some of the initiatives that we've made in the management pack space. There's really kind of two or three things. One is as an accountability perspective, if you take the link management pack, for example, what used to happen in the past is if you have a customer raised a premier support case with Microsoft about the link management pack, that support case would actually end up in the link product team's queue. And they would look at it, they would triage it with the rest of their link product issues, and ultimately the management pack would get prioritized a little lower and we wouldn't get fixes there. So recently we've taken ownership of all the management pack related sustain engineering, meaning that any problem with any management pack shipped from Microsoft ends up in my team, and I go and prioritize it, and you are ultimately my customers who use the management pack, so I can put the necessary resource against fixing some of these problems. You'll see some of these recently, making fixes to BizTalk MPs, delivering print server MPs, management packs that have been kind of missing, so we're taking over that. We will be working on updating authoring tools and looking at really how we better serve you in that space. The other thing is during the development cycle of management packs, we have this concept called the common engineering criteria. I think if you go to Microsoft.com/CEC, it tells you what every server workload, the criteria they have to meet to actually ship their product. One of them is to produce a management pack, but more recently we've added criteria that they need to produce a high quality management pack, and I've provided gates and check measures into there to ensure that that happens. An example of that recently is the new Exchange 2013 Management Pact. And just to give you a few data points on that, this is a management pact completely reworked, took the feedback from Exchange 2010 on how it was kind of hard to configure, didn't really provide the right value. And Exchange, based on running Exchange in the context of Office 365, really looked at it, what it means to monitor Exchange running in a service like that. So they built some instrumentation within Exchange itself. They built a management pack that really focused on those MTTR scenarios. And what they found was moving to Exchange 2013, using the new management pack, they were actually able to reduce, and this is for the servers running Exchange in Office 365, the number of vendors supporting Exchange from 5 down to 1 simply by moving to this management pack. They reduced their alert to noise ratio per server by 10x with a new management pack. So if you're moving to 2013, the Exchange 2013 management pack is an example of how we're kind of moving the bar forward. And we can talk more about this in the panel if you have specific things. I am ultimately accountable for all management pack related problems. So if you have a problem, you can come and talk to me about it. Okay, let's talk a little bit about public cloud.
Actually, if you come to the panel discussion, I'll give you his email address for anything management pack related.
That's fine.
And you can file complaints directly to him.
Yeah. My email forwards on to Joe anyway. So. So let's talk a little bit about public cloud monitoring. So you've obviously seen that Azure is kind of on a fast track of how they're delivering, and more importantly, how they're delivering value towards enterprise customers with the addition of infrastructure as a service, with the addition of services such as Service Bus, like really investing and reducing the cost on storage, making it really appealing for if you wanted to be thinking about doing dev test workloads in Azure, or you're thinking about how you expand your infrastructure in a hybrid form. So we'd shipped a management pack back, I think, 2011 for Azure, and it was kind of focused on cloud services. That was the primary focus of Azure for kind of getting PaaS, platform as a service, out there. We shipped a management pack to go after that. So we went back again in this time frame as we look at all the clouds we need to support. What do we need to do in Azure monitoring to really kind of make it enabled for enterprises? So I'll give you a full demo of this in a second. I'll just talk about the few points that we have and what we've enabled there. First of all, as with anything we do in Operations Manager, we have this kind of make it easy, make it simple type mantra. We really want, to start thinking about how we give you instant gratification when you're using our product. You know, how can we simplify the experience so that you kind of, with a few clicks, you're up, you're running, you're monitoring. We added the ability, expanded our monitoring beyond cloud services to support virtual machines, IaaS, both single and roles, the ability to monitor storage accounts, which is a huge ask. We monitor certificate health, so if your certificates are expiring, Operations Manager is going to let you know. And then we added the hybrid scenarios in as well. I mean, we think that Operations Manager is providing your visibility across all your on-premise fabric, and when you bring Azure into that as well, those same processes that you follow, whether that's sending an alert to a ticketing system or notifying an operator should apply, or if you need to run tasks, those things should be the same for whether you're monitoring private or public clouds as well. And of course, we expand on our user experience, providing dashboards and views to support that. So less talking, let me show you. How am I doing for time?
You're doing good.
Okay, so here we are. We're back in Operations Manager. I'm actually in the administration pane in Operations Manager now. The first thing, that when you get the new Azure Management Pack, that gets imported, and this node gets added with a set of configuration-related steps. What you'll notice here, if you'd used, let me ask, did anyone use the previous management pack? Anyone have a need for Azure monitoring? Okay. Well, when you're there and you do need it, this is for you.
Why do you make yourself depressed like this on stage?
Okay. I'm not deterred. So the first thing that we the previous management pack focused on a single subscription. It was really focused at the dev and test capabilities, so they would have a single subscription. They need to monitor the cloud services. If you're running at enterprise scale, you're going to have multiple subscriptions. Just like you have multiple clouds or multiple servers, you need to monitor on-premise. You want to be able to monitor Azure in the same way. So we provide the ability for you to come in here, and you can bring all your subscriptions in to Operations Manager. What will happen then is we will go and discover, if I switch to the monitoring pane here and find Windows Azure, we have a set of views in here, and under the folder Azure Resource Inventory, we provide you the views. We go and discover everything that's currently running within those subscriptions. Okay, so your cloud services, your virtual machines, your storage accounts. But we don't monitor them. We just tell you what's there. Obviously, with using public cloud resources for these things, everything you do is kind of has a metered bill running against it. So when you're ready to add monitoring, so we don't add a burden on that until you're ready to add monitoring. So when you're ready to add monitoring, we provide a set of templates that allow you to configure what you want to monitor. So we have the concept called Management Pack Templates, and we have one called Windows Azure. So here we have a few configured. And this is simply a template I can walk through and say, for this particular template, I want to monitor these set of assets, whether it be cloud services, virtual machines, or storage accounts. So you would simply walk through here, click Add on the particular one. You can set the configuration settings from here. And once that happens, we will then start collecting and monitoring those particular assets. So I go back to the monitoring pane. So you see we have a folder here, which is called the Monitored Azure Resources. You notice I have 7 within the Cloud Services view here. And then within the actual Monitored, I'm only monitoring 3 of those particular Cloud Services. Or it's exactly the same for virtual machines, for IaaS, and exactly the same for storage accounts as well. And of course, we're doing that across all subscriptions. So you now have a single view across all your assets running within Azure. Again, with the associated tasks that are assigned to those particular things. So what you could do for cloud services like swap deployment. We will continue to add in this space as well, which is very interesting because it now means that you can actually get role-based access control over your Azure resources as well. So if you play with Azure, there's a kind of single login experience for that, and role-based access will come with it. But certainly Operations Manager allows you to do a level of that there, particularly around your monitoring tasks. So the other thing that we do, and this is kind of unique about what we're able to do with Azure, is that Azure, when you upload and you provide resources into Azure, you provide them with a set of configuration on how they need to be deployed and how they work. With Operations Manager, we can actually discover that information when we're monitoring it. So we can actually create a topology of all your assets within Azure and how they connect and talk to each other. So if you have hybrid services in Azure that are running across multiple subscriptions or talking out to external resources, all of this information is actually automatically discovered without you having to do anything. You simply point the management pack at these things at your Azure subscription, and we will discover those dependencies and relationships for you. So you can easily see kind of how and what is talking to things. This Microsoft.com at the top is an external call going out of Azure to somewhere else. We will again automatically discover that. You can tune this view down for a particular subscription if you just wanted to look within that container, or if you wanted to look at, for example, production versus deployment slots. There's a very powerful feature added there. So lastly, I'll just talk a little bit about hybrid. Obviously, these are just objects with relationships in Operations Manager. If you have a hybrid application, say that you're building a website for peak usage, that you need to burst out, you want some front ends on elastic scale, you can monitor them here and get this single type view. But it's more powerful if you are using hybrid where you have assets on-prem that serve this as well. It's kind of how you can tie these things together. So we have a concept called distributed applications, which allows you to say, well, my application actually consists of these particular components. And it's no different from an Azure perspective. We've added an Azure template here, just like what we did for .NET and 360, which Joe will show you in a second, which is a Windows Azure distributed application. This allows you to combine those Azure components with on-premise components, plus watch your nodes from like our servers from GSM, and get that holistic view. Those templates and applications, once created, would then show up in this service state view. You would get a list of all your applications here. And if I have a look at the diagram view here, you'll see components that exist, watchers from GSM, components running in Azure, and via the SQL Azure Management Pack, SQL Azure databases as well. So this is really bringing that hybrid view kind of to life through Operations Manager. So with that, I'm going to hand it back to Joe to talk about proactive monitoring.
Proactive monitoring, advisor. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Daniel. Do you guys like what you're seeing so far in R2? Yeah? Great, thank you. You know, just want to reemphasize the point that, you know, we make a lot of investment across all of the assets that Microsoft offers so that you can have that maximum flexibility, so that you can have a choice. We're really the only company on this planet that is really doing this full range of coverage and investment across the board. And you can see that consistency in every team at Microsoft. And we're no exception to that. And to make sure that, you know, we covered and offer you solution for on-premise assets, in public cloud, hybrid, and doing it in a iterative fashion. So the Azure Management Pack that Danielle was just showing you earlier really was just proposed and started, I think, back in March, right?
Yeah, March.
Back in March. So within 3 months, we've got this done, rolled it out, and made it part of R2. And that's the type of cadence that you can expect from us going forward. So we want to stay engaged with you. And one way is I will give you Danielle's email address, like I said, mm-hmm. in the panel discussion. More officially is talk. Talk to your account representative. Talk to your premier field engineers. Talk to the consultants from Microsoft that is on site. Talk to them. And they talk to us, or talk to us directly. Or just complain outright in some forum. You know, we will listen to that too. We scrape all that information and try to prioritize it and do it quickly. And that's kind of like the new mantra that we have internally, rather than waiting 2 to 3 years before we give you an update. Okay, so advisor. Advisor is another great example of what we're trying to do in the cloud age, where we try to offer you value and capability without incurring cost on your side. Whether the cost of buying a license or the cost of running the capability itself, and try to give it to you very, very quickly. So, but first of all, what is Advisor anyway? What does it do? Well, Advisor is actually a cloud service that offers proactive monitoring. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you think about System Center Operations Manager, what it does is it gives you a really rich and capable set of functionality for doing real-time monitoring. So when something goes wrong, we want to let you know as soon as possible so that you can remediate the problem and drive down that MTTR that you're measured against, mean time to resolution. But wouldn't it be better if you can prevent the problem from happening in the first place, right? So that's what proactive monitoring is all about, which is to give you recommendations so that you can take care of the problems before they turn into a disaster. And looking at the database of issues going back in various releases of all of the workloads that Microsoft has shipped, you know, we have confirmed that most of the problem comes from configurations. And so that's the focus of what Advisor does, focusing on server configurations for the purpose of doing proactive monitoring to prevent problem from happening in the first place. But how did we come up with these configuration rules? Well, we didn't sit there in our office and try to daydream and brainstorm and write, you know, garbage on the whiteboard and form rules that way. What we did was we talked to our counterpart in Microsoft Customer Support and Services Organization, looking at real incidents that came in and converting them into in a programmatic fashion to watch for those conditions for you. And one of the things that you realize is every single alarm that is raised with Advisor is coupled with first-class knowledge that is written by CSS. That is a guarantee that I made to you. You will not click on an alert that comes from Advisor that doesn't have great knowledge and remediation that comes with that. Okay? And because it is a cloud service, we watch the effectiveness of those rules over time. So if there is a rule that is running in our customer environment that is generating a lot of alerts, and we're seeing that not a whole lot of resolution is coming in, we deem that as noise because it's not very actionable. For whatever reason, people are not fixing it. We'll kill those rules on the spot so that it will not bother you. Okay. But for those that hits a lot of the boxes, which generates alert, but at the same time had a very high resolution rate, we want to study why those rules are effective. Sitting down with the subject matter experts in our CSS organization to ensure that they understand what is going on there and why they're effective. So you can see that deep knowledge engineering investment that we make as part of the Advisor service is not just a cloud service. It's about the process behind it. It's about the philosophy that we have that comes with Advisor. And so basically CSS, we're there, worldwide engagement with all of you, and more customers in the world, convert those items into rules that is then inserted into the Advisor cloud service, then is then downloaded into your environment using the SCOM deployment that you have, okay? And runs the rule that way and bring the data back. Advisor crunches the data, gives you the recommendation, and based on that interaction, we further refine the knowledge. And basically, that's how we provide proactive monitoring to you. And currently, we offered a proactive monitoring for a set of really popular server workload, which includes Blink, SharePoint, SQL servers, Exchange, Windows Server, Hyper-V is also covered in there. And beginning with the R2 release, we're going to start covering some of the fabric or infrastructure component that is used to monitor your private cloud infrastructure. So that will include, for example, VMM as one of the workload that will start monitoring using Advisor as well. Okay. Well, I mean, the benefits for Advisor is pretty clear. It says, you know, proactively avoid configuration problem, reduce downtime and improve performance, resolve issues faster. I mean, isn't it obvious? You prevented the problem in the first place. So, you know, those benefit is kind of obvious. But one real benefit that I really want to mention here is that, guess how much Advisor is cost? Any guess? Free? Free? How many people think that it's actually free? Why do you all think it's free? Well, it is free. Great. I love the European crowd. I talked to the US crowd. Nobody believed me. I said it's free. It was like, but I'm on this like volume licensing thing, you know, like now in that scheme, like how are you going to charge me? It's free. But like, I'm doing it this way, you know, is it still free? It was like, they just don't believe me. I love you guys. Yes, it's free. So go and try it, okay? Now, there's two ways you can try Advisor. One way is that you can download the R2 preview. An Advisor is built in. The component that is needed to run in Scrum is completely built in. First class out of the box. You don't need to do anything extra. Just deploy System Center 2012, R2, Advisor is there available for you. But if you're on 2012 SP1 now, and you think you're going to take some time before you move to R2, well, you still got an option there. We have the System Center Advisor connector for Operations Manager 2012 SP1 preview. Gosh, such a long name.
We like the long names, yeah.
I don't like long names, but those, like, those marketing guys make me do the long names. But yeah, it's basically a connector for you that runs on SP1, and it's available for free for you to download today. So go to bing.com, type System Center Advisor Connector. The first link that comes out on there, click on it, download the less than 1 megabyte, you know, package, import it into your environment, and you're good to go. Okay, is really, really simple. And I'll show you how simple it is in the demo later. But it's free, it's available today. Just want to make sure, how many of you is on SP1 today right now? Great, so you can try it, okay? I'm counting on you. How many of you is planning to download the R2 preview? Great, I don't know why the hand is like half raised. It's like, I'm not sure if I'm gonna try, but I think it's great. Try it. Well, thanks for committing to that. So because a lot of you haven't seen Advisor today, it's kind of weird that I'm trying to introduce the concept of an attached service. Because if you use R2 or SP1 today, the attached service is available. We just announced it at MMS in April. But for those of you, I think for the 5 hands that were raised earlier that knows that Advisor existed before, well, as you know, you can actually go to systemcenteradvisor.com today and use it as a standalone service. You can actually go and download a certificate, a gateway component, and the Scrum agent from there, deploy in your environment, and the agent will talk to the gateway, which then proxy the data up to Advisor. That path is still supported, okay? That continues to work, but we have a path for you to move to the attached service scenario. Now, why is it better with the attached scenario? Well, first of all, you don't need to download those packages, okay? You don't need to deploy no certs, you don't need to configure no gateway server. All you need to do is go to your Ops Manager console, which you all have, and say, I want to connect to Advisor, and you're done. That's it. Everything else happens behind the scene. We made it automatically for you, okay? And best of all, we bring those alerts that is processed in Advisor back down into your Ops Manager console so that you don't have this, you know, multiple console problems, which we're already putting on you with the System Center suite. So there's one less console to worry about. We're bringing that data back into the Ops console, and you can view the data there and integrate as part of your, you know, for example, your ticketing system. You can integrate with that. If you need to have role-based access, for example, you can leverage that capability in Ops Manager to do that as well. If you need notification, that gets light up in the attached scenario as well. So a lot of benefits there, and it's just really, really simple. Now, I'm actually not going to talk about this slide, but if you want to know how it works, come to the panel discussion, and I'll talk a little bit more on that. Just a little teaser for you, bait you to come. For those who are the geeks and just really want to know how it works under the hood, come to that. Right? I'm seeing like people trying to read it and trying to memorize it already. I'm going to give you that pleasure of doing so. come to the panel discussion, please. Okay, so it's a cloud service after all, and a lot of you is worried about privacy, right? How does that work? Well, We take this problem really seriously, okay? And we'd love to have that dialogue with you. We walked through the benefits earlier. You've seen that it doesn't require any additional overhead on your side, okay? It doesn't incur any overhead for you. Even though we use the Ops Manager deployment that you have to collect the data, we kept that workload to the minimum. You can barely notice anything happening with your Ops Manager deployment. Most of the cost is actually incurred by us, including storage in the cloud, okay? And we offer that to you for free. So that's the benefit. But in terms of privacy, first of all, the privacy statement, first of all, is available if you go to systemcenteradvisor.com. There's a link at the bottom that says privacy statement and terms of use. If you need to talk to your internal legal team or licensing team or whatnot, that is there available for you to basically click on and have that conversation with them. In addition, I want to make sure that you understand we only collect data on the machine in which we're analyzing the server configuration. And we're only collecting data related to the configuration item. So we don't just go and scan everything on your box and take it to the cloud, okay? That doesn't happen. And if you still don't trust what we're collecting there, we actually retain a copy of the data that we sent up to the cloud for you on your box, and we retain it on there for 5 days so that it provides an audit for you of what we're sending up into the cloud. It's basically an XML document that you can open and see what we're collecting exactly. So that's one way to look at it. If you want to have a document that talks about what type of resource or property types that we looked at, we also have it available online from the privacy statement, and you can see what we're collecting there as well. And you're in control at any time. You can control when the upload time happens, when we send the data to the cloud. You can close the account at any time and request to have the data removed at any time you want. You're in complete control, okay? And most importantly, we will not use this data for sales and licensing validation, okay? We will not check on your licenses using this technology. That's not what it is for. We believe you, we know all of our customers honest, and you're good and you're great, and we definitely would not do that to you, okay? We swear, we promise. So, yeah, you can trust us with that. So with that, I'm gonna give you a quick demo and show you how easy it is to use Advisor. Thank you, Daniel. Okay, so the first thing to look at in Advisor is that in the Ops console, starting with R2, you'll see that there is a folder called System Center Advisor in there, okay, in the monitoring view. And if you need to get started, typically you would go to administration first, actually. And you'll also see a System Center Advisor node here. To get started, you'll click on Advisor Connection. And typically, before you register, it will say Register Advisor. But I've already registered already. It says Reconfigure. Okay. So basically, you just click on that. And it brings in a login page. All that we need from you is a Microsoft account that you can set up at any time. Treat it as a service account of sort for you. That allows us to have your on-premise deployment to talk to the cloud service. So I'm going to enter the password for my Microsoft account here. Click sign in. And all that you do from here is that you can type in a account name. So I can say that my new account. And you can open up multiple accounts in Advisor if you want. And we definitely support that. But as you can see, just to prove that, because my Live ID is already registered, or my Microsoft account is already registered, it sees all of the accounts that I've opened in Advisor. And you can do that. Do that to us. Open any account you want. Keep opening it. We don't care. It's free. We're Microsoft, and we can take the hit. And this is kind of like the account that I already set up for this demo purposes. And if you click Next, That's it. That's the whole setup purpose, setup that is required to connect your on-premise deployment to Advisor. If you click done here, then basically it's done. Okay. I don't want to mess up my demo here, so I'm going to click cancel out of that. Now, the next step is that we give you the option of what to opt into your environment. Obviously, you don't want to, you know, if you're careful, you don't want to immediately bring on, oh, let's bring all the domain controllers and have Advisor monitor it and bring that data to the cloud, right? You know, those will be some of the last assets that you touch. So initially, you may, I want to try a few SQL server here and maybe a few Link server here and just try that out first and see what kind of knowledge do I get from that, right? Just one note of warning, though. I've seen some online feedback where people tried to onboard Windows Server, and then they were complaining, this Advisor service is stupid. It doesn't show me anything for my Windows Server. Well, if you deployed a Windows Server out of the box, it is well configured out of the box, so you're not going to get any alerts. So congratulations, it's perfectly configured. That's why you won't get any alerts. So find some server thing you think is messed up, so that Advisor can actually bring some recommendation to you, and you'll see some data in the cloud, okay? But we also bring in a choice of allowing you to add individual servers, and that's great when you're in the trial and testing phase. But when you're ready to go with production, you can include groups. So you can include groups of server in your environment, and we bring in all of the groups in here. So you can say, I want to bring in all my SQL server computer group, and we'll basically enable Advisor on all of the boxes in that group. And as new boxes join on there, you don't need to come back to this experience and keep adding servers to it. Because the group is dynamic, we will pick that up and enable Advisor through the grouping mechanism in SCOM for you. And obviously, I want you to pick the all computer server group, right? And enable it across the board in your environment. That's what I love to see. And that's it. That's configuration. So the next step that you're going to look at is what we called a Advisor health state view. I really just introduced this, I think, 3 weeks ago. I got the feedback at MMS after we have launched the preview, and people were saying, yeah, I follow your three-step procedure and registered, and then I don't know like what happened to the agents. Are they talking or not talking? Well, we're giving you the feedback here now with the Advisor health state view, which shows you whether your agents are talking to the Advisor service and whether your management server is getting information from the cloud service as well. Okay, and so we have it all in here, and you can right-click it and to bring out the Health Explorer view, for example, to look at how it is doing with the Advisor service. So we tell you whether Advisor knowledge discovery is happening, whether the raw data collection that is compressed in the CAP file is being uploaded, and whether the management pack itself that is coming in from the cloud is being updated on your box as well. So all of that is being shown in this health state right here at your convenience. So that's new. And just to reemphasize that, how quick we add on and react to your comment right now. We basically got that in April, and we've got this rolled out production right now in R2. So you will get this. Okay, so finally to the goodies. These are the knowledge that we have, some of the recommendation that we make to you in Advisor. Now, monitoring my virtual machine manager box here, that is going to be available with the release of the R2 suite sometime near?
Soon.
Yeah, that is coming. And VMM is going to be covered in there. And we're going to incrementally start covering the entire System Center suite with Advisor as well. And this is just one example of how we're trying to incrementally invest in knowledge. Now, Like I mentioned to you earlier, every single alert that you see in Advisor have great knowledge. And so one of the link that we have enabled under the task pane on the right-hand side is to view solution or KP article underlined here, okay? So you can just click on that. And what we do is bring you to the knowledge article about what this problem is about, what is the symptom, what is the cause, and what are the resolution steps. And in this case, it's just missing some patch. So basically, you can just click on that and download it. An advisor will automatically pick it up and know that is resolved, and the alert will go away automatically. It's just that simple. Okay? But every alert comes with great knowledge. It's a promise. Another thing that we do provide from Advisor is the ability to let you look at configuration. Why do we show that? Well, you may wonder, well, you know, all my boxes should be configured perfectly out of the box. How did we arrive at kind of like this problem at this stage right now, right? So, hey, what happened? I picked the wrong box, sorry. Yeah. And so one of the views that we give you is to view configuration history. So you can see what was changed since the initial deployment of the box that leads you to that particular misconfiguration that we have detected from Advisor. So kind of like give you a audit path of what have happened. And we also give you the entire current snapshot of what is running on that box on there. So for example, this is a VMM server that I'm running, and it gives you, for example, about 52 properties on here on the type of configuration that we're looking at. If we're counting the VMM agent on there as well, as 57 properties. So 58 in total. So again, a great, easy inventory of what you're looking at in your environment made available from an advisor. Again, we store this in the cloud, and you don't have to store this using your infrastructure. We provide this for free for you. And if you don't like a particular alert and is bothering you, you can choose to ignore it, or you can just outright disable the entire class of rule altogether very quickly using the Manage Alert Rules link there. Okay? So that Advisor in a nutshell is pretty simple, as you can see, but offer a lot of value. And so going back to the slide, Danielle, I'm running a little bit behind,
yeah.
So I'm going to quickly get into the DevOps scenario.
So here's what I think. So who is very interested in Java APM? 1, 2, 3, 4. So what I think we do, we have 5 minutes left. We have a whole hour and 15 minutes in the panel discussion. We'll do the demo here now rather than talk more through more slides, 5-minute Java demo, and then we can take the content and we can discuss it with questions in the panel. So we'll run right up to time. We won't have time for Q&A here, but of course we've got the panel discussion in hall 4 or 5 at 5 o'clock, and we can take all the questions there, and we can have a discussion about those things. Does that work?
Works for me.
Does that work for you guys? We'll do one more demo, and then we'll kind of wrap it up for this session. Yeah, okay. So we'll cover the Java APM. So rather, this is part of the DevOps part of the experience. We provided the APM for .NET, and now we're providing the functionality for Java, and then I'll let Joe go through the demo.
All right. So let's switch to the demo immediately.
There you go.
It's great. Actually, I love showing demo. Don't really like that slide that I was going to show anyway. So APM is all about application. That's the center of it. So I have an application here, DinnerNow. Danielle and I run this business, and we serve dinner, okay? This is the experience that user is looking at right now. And this application got some problem. We kind of outsourced the application to some external vendor. And, you know, they're cheap, so, you know, we hire them, and, man, this thing is crappy. This is just an ugly application. So when my user log in here, trying to search for their own zip code to see if, kind of like what kind of offer they make, look at it. They're trying to like search for the results here. And I got the spinny wheel of like flushing toilet just sitting there and not giving anything back for a while. I mean, so slow that the delivery probably have happened already if they can make the order physically. And so there's a performance problem that you see right there. And if I go into the North Wind Bar and Grill, oh, I love grill, I go to grill to get breakfast. I can like you know order a couple of things in here. I love the mango smoothie. Let me take that. Take that. Or take that. Or take that. It's like nothing is happening. What's wrong with this app? This is a stupid app. Okay, so clearly, you know, I can't order. It's slow. My customer is completely pissed off. So,
as are you.
Hmm?
As are you.
And yeah.
If you know Joe, you don't want to get in the way of his food. So.
Yeah, absolutely not. So we've got a serious problem here, okay? And obviously, we have the dev team, which is some vendors, and I have my ops team sitting in our own office. And all they do is like just, you know, is the dev's fault, and the ops team is like, I don't know how to deal with this stuff. So, you know, there's a communication breakdown. We can't really, you know, make the dev fix the problem properly. Now, they're bound by contract to fix the problem for us if we can show them exactly what the problem is. And that's exactly what APM do for you, which is to show you the problem that is happening in your production site, which is typically fairly difficult to do. Okay. So the first thing that I'm going to do is go to my 360 application dashboard, which gives me an odd view of how my application is doing. Right now it's showing that it's red, it's not doing well, performance is looking like a roller coaster, and under the SLA section is completely failing me. Very, very sad. Very sad. And so it's just a disaster. And so, okay, I get it. It's a disaster right now. Well, what are we going to do about it? Well, one of the things that we can do is to bring up the application summary dashboard, which gives me a little breakdown of the various components of the application that I'm monitoring. So I can see that I have basically a web tier, which is kind of like the front end showing the UI, the web tier, and I have the service tier. This is where my business logic is running at, okay? And they have the watchers, and this is kind of like the client perspective that we're getting from the end user through real transactions that are coming in, okay? And so, man, this is just one sexy-looking dashboard. I mean, I just love this. I can just hang around here all day long. But we got business to deal with, so we'll go right to the alert view and check out some of the alerts. And like I said, this is a really crappy app. I got like error all over the place. And I've selected one of the problems that we've shown earlier, which is that the search function is really slow, right? So you can see that, yeah, the search page is really slow. And like any alerts, we bring in some knowledge for you. And we have a link in here which will bring you to the app diagnostic view to give you a breakdown of what's going on with the application. As you can see in this view, most of the latency that is introduced in the application is from the server side, right? You never know. Even on the dev team over there, the front-end guys that runs the front-end role and then the back-end guys that runs the business logic role, they always point fingers one another. Right, the front end guy was saying that, oh man, your query sucks, and then the server guy is saying, no, it's your stupid front end rendering that is slow. It's all those stupid graphics that you're showing all the time. That's the thing that is slow. And you're just sitting there, is like, just stop arguing and figure out what the problem is, right? Well, with this, you can just point it to the server guy and say, it's your problem, damn it. Here is incurring basically 87% of the entire latency end-to-end for the end user. So they would just shut up and look at the problem over here. And we actually bring in the entire transaction for you, showing you step-by-step when the user hits the initial page, going to the search function, and the subfunction that is called that is causing the latency. Now, APM right now is highlighting the fact that the get restaurant category method here is incurring most of the latency in here. Well, actually, I would say it's half and half. But nonetheless, we can click on this guy. And what APM then shows you is a complete call stack of what the problem is. Isn't that cool? And points you right down to that particular SQL function that is really the source of all the problems. Again, you don't need to do any instrumentation in your code. Nothing. You just deployed our agent onto your application server. We automatically discover the components on there. You just need to pick what component you want to monitor, and we'll automatically intercept the transactions that are coming in and pick up the right call stack only when there is a performance violation or exception violation that occurs. We're always mindful of the footprints that we introduce in any workload or application tier that we're monitoring. And so that solves your problem, okay? And it's just that simple. Now, one last thing that I want to cover, and just to remind you, is that we also have the availability perspective that was shown in the 360 dashboard. That was provided by the Global Service Monitor. Because you can't really measure availability from real transaction. If your app is down, then nobody can talk to your app, right? And your transaction will be zero. I guess that's one indication, but we can't really tell you that it's not available. So with the GSM functionality, we can continue pinging it, and we fail to ping it, we can bring that data back to you through GSM and update the availability metrics there for you so that you know that is your application is down. And you can see that I only got one point of presence here from Seattle. We actually run the app from the Fiji Islands. But you know, we sell a lot of coffee, so we want to make sure that we're monitoring from Seattle and make sure they can order coffee from from Fiji.
Yeah,
we have a local distribution center in Seattle. Yeah. Just making random story up on the spot. But about Java, though, I actually have nothing special to show you on Java. Why? Because it works just like .NET, exactly the same. Okay, if you go to the diagnostic right here, right? I have my app diagnostic page here on all of the performance violation and exception violation for Java here. If you bring one up, you would see that the experience is identical. I'm monitoring a BeanSpy base app over in here that is running on Tomcat, and everything just looks the same. And the value in here is not bringing you something special, but bringing you that consistency across different framework, across different OS, and bringing it back, giving you that unified view. Thank you. Hope to see you in the panel discussion.
Thank you. Sorry for running.